Hi everyone, this is Steve. Welcome to Pacific Life Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to check out our website, pacificlifechurch.org, and subscribe to our email list. The email is actually the best way to keep up with everything going on around here at PLC. Most importantly, I hope the following presentation will inspire you to follow Jesus, love each other, and serve your neighbors.
It's super good to be here with you guys again. It's really great. We're going to do a little celebrating and hopefully cast a little vision for what God can do to change the world really through you guys and through the church here. What if I told you there was a way to do that, that you could actually solve one of the greatest problems in the world, and it's a problem that causes all kinds of disease and sickness and discomfort, and it's one of the biggest killers in the world. That's what we're going to talk about today. It's the lack of clean water. And I was struck by a couple of stats that I read recently. You know, we've all come these last couple of years out of a COVID crisis, and it was terrible. There were parts of it that were really bad. It's affected all of us in some kind of way. I actually had COVID before the vaccines, and it was really, really bad. And I had several friends that passed away from it. And so there was a lot of those dark moments in that. 6.38 million people around the world have died of that horrible disease. And now, you know, we've got vaccines and all kinds of stuff that are making it less severe. And the world kind of rallied around that. But I ran across that and compared that with the stat that 3.4 million people every year die of waterborne sickness. So more than the pace of COVID. Every year, year after year after year after year. And the challenge is that there's really great technology that goes along with this problem that can solve the problem. We're going to look at some of that technology, super simple today, of what we can do. And we cannot solve all the world's problems, but clean water is one that we can solve. And so we're going to talk specifically about that, how we do that. First, I want to celebrate. Pastor Steve talked about what you guys did last year. I want to kind of refresh your memory a little bit if you weren't here or if you were here. We originally thought we were going to do a project in the Solomon Islands. And COVID just was rampant all throughout the Solomon Islands and all the Pacific Islands. And actually, those countries shut down. You couldn't get in them. You couldn't get out of them. People were locked down in their homes. They couldn't move, do all that kind of stuff. And so we tried and tried and tried to be able to go to the Solomon Islands, but we couldn't do it. So I said, hey, Pastor Steve, let's pick a different place. So we laid out a couple of different options. And one of the places that we ended up choosing was to go to the country of Burkina Faso. And that's in Africa, and you're going to see it up on the map. If you don't know where Burkina Faso is anywhere, there's 54 different countries in Africa. It's over in West Africa, and it's a challenging country because there's lots right now of terrorism that's going on in the country. People are coming down, extremists are coming down from Mali and different places like that, and so it makes it a really big challenge. But there's a really amazing church network that's there, and I got to go there in 2018 to train the team that's on the ground to take water filters out into the villages there and to actually be able to install those and change people's lives. The water there is really bad. It really causes all kinds of sickness and disease. And so that's what we did. And so you guys were able to sponsor 200 homes with clean drinking water. And not only that, but we were able to get a matching grant through our partner. And so actually 400 homes were impacted as a result of the generosity of your guys' church. And that just finished a few weeks ago, where all those families got clean drinking water and their lives are changed. Their diarrhea is totally eliminated. They're collecting stats and everything. Kids are going back to school where they were missing school. Adults are not missing work. All those kind of things that are a factor in a family's life. And you guys helped change them. The church, just to tell you a little bit about them, the network of churches, there's one pastor there that we work really closely with. His name's Pastor Moise. And he has a ministry to women. It's called the Dorcas Ministry. And they actually teach women the craft of sewing. And every woman that comes through, they're all women that are living on the streets and everything, and they come into their church environment, and they have a place to live and a place to stay, but they all are going to graduate with this skill and get a sewing machine and lots of material so they can start their own small business, and that's all coming from the local church. And the men in the church that have come in from the outside, they're learning trades, and so they teach them, you know, welding and all kinds of different things like that. But this is all an outreach through this local church. Now, the cool story about the men is that they have a really good soccer team. And so when they go out in the villages, it's really common that they'll use soccer as a way to kind of bridge the gap. And so they go out, and they'll meet the chief of the village, and the chief usually has a soccer team, and then these guys have a soccer team, so they get a soccer match going, and so that's happening. While they're doing the soccer match, they actually film the tribal chief in HD video. They film the tribal chief telling the story and the history of the village. And so then at night, for the first time in their life, they set up a big screen, and they invite all of the surrounding villages and everything to come in, and they learn the history of that tribe and what it's all about. And so everybody's there. And then right after that, they show the Jesus film. And it's been amazing at how many churches have been planted as a result of that. But now they're including clean drinking water as a way to share God's love in a really practical way. So you guys were a part of that and helped change all of these families' lives, and it was really awesome. We're going to talk this weekend and be in a passage of Scripture in John chapter 4, if you guys want to turn over there, and we're really going to model Jesus. What Jesus does in this particular passage, because it deals with water, and that is that we're going to be intentional. You and I need to be intentional to see and to meet people's most basic needs. That's critical. And so John chapter 4, Jesus, he leaves Judea to return to Galilee, starting at verse 3. And he had to go through Samaria on the way. Why he had to go through Samaria, not sure if it's the quickest direction of where he was, but he had to go there, it says, and eventually he comes to a Samaritan village named Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now, this is a cool scene. Jacob, from the Old Testament, is going to give this field to Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. Very famous. Now, Jesus was tired from the long journey and the long walk, and he sat wearily beside the well at about noontime. I want you to picture, lots of stuff's going on in this passage. Jesus, as he goes, now I was in Israel right before COVID, and I was in this whole part of the world, and I was trying to picture Jesus and his disciples as they were walking everywhere. I've seen like really a lot of pictures of Jesus being like really fit. I'm pretty sure he was. He's like a hiker extraordinaire, right? He's going up mountains and going through the desert and doing all this stuff, and they're walking everywhere they go. So they're like super fit, and they're walking in like sandals. They're not in New Balance or, you know, any other. They're uncomfortable, right? And so they're just walking, and he comes here, and he's tired, but he's in Samaria. And we're going to find out in this passage that Jews and Samaritans, they didn't get along. Even to this day, when I was there, we were with a Jewish tour guide, and we got to the West Bank, and there's big signs everywhere, red signs that say, if you're Jewish, don't come in here, it's not safe for you, basically. And our tour guide had to get out, and he swapped, and we went with somebody else. It's gnarly. There's like a lot of tension, and so Jesus is in this same place. And he's in the same environment, you know, it's just a couple thousand years before that, but the same things are going on. And a Samaritan woman comes to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food, and the woman was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She's like freaked out. Why is this Jewish guy asking me for a drink? And she says to Jesus, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why in the world are you asking me for a drink? And Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. And the well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than what he and his sons and his animals enjoyed? This is kind of just tricky, right? They've been drinking out of this water for a long time, and Jesus says, I'm going to come and give you living water, and they're all like, well, what is this living water thing, right? And Jesus replies, he says, anyone who drinks of this water in this well, Jacob's well, the famous well, right, will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Lots of steps in this passage. And as you'll read, I'm going to let you read kind of the rest of the story, because Jesus knows this woman's troubled. She's had a rough past. She's living in a world where, you know, life is not good. You know, it's on another number of levels. And Jesus knows this. She's had five marriages. The guy she's living with right now is not her husband. And she's in the midst of this. But this village is about to get transformed by living water, the living water that Jesus gives, and it's all going to happen over a cup of water, a conversation that's going to happen. See, Jesus, if we're like him, Jesus, he calls us. We're called to compassion. We're called to press in, to be compassionate wherever we go. And I know it'd be super easy for Jesus to have a lot of excuses of why he wouldn't go there. I just wrote down a few of them. Number one, she's a woman, and this time that would have presented some issues. She's a Samaritan, and so that would the author of this passage, the writer, just, you know, he outs that's like a thing, right? And so she's been married so many times, she's got a bad reputation. Jesus is super busy. He's got lots of stuff. He's got lots of important things to do. It's hot outside. It's uncomfortable. Think about this. Think of all these things that we would think of, right? He doesn't know what his disciples would think about this. You know, Jesus, what do you do? We leave you for, Jesus, we leave you for 5 minutes to go buy food, and here you are. What are you doing, you know, stirring up all this stuff? You're keeping other people waiting. There's people that are waiting for you. There's a shorter way to go. All these things could have been a factor. And I think about that, and I think of the fact that Jesus went, and he purposed, and he had compassion set in his heart and in his mind. You and I have the same things that go through our minds, and I'm going to make us a little uncomfortable right now. And I'm going to do it because I think I've been on, I've said these or I've thought these things or whatever. And that is when we see opportunities around us, right here, locally, internationally, whatever, we have all kinds of excuses for us, right? They'll probably just use it to buy alcohol if I give them money or if I help them, right? I didn't work so hard to support people that refuse to work. Or they have a corrupt government over there, and if the government wasn't corrupt, they'd take care of them, and they should do that. I have my own financial struggles. You know, hey, Pastor Dell, don't you know that inflation's 9.1% right now, and that's just a challenge for all of us? Those people don't need me. We should take care of people in our own backyard, which are all true, right? I get asked that a lot. Why are you going across the world? Why don't you help in your own backyard? And my answer is always, it's not either or, it's both and. It's always to think that way, right? I don't want to get involved, you know, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. But Jesus was intentional, and he models for us what it's like to press in, to do something, to be a part of bringing the kingdom of God to people who are marginalized. That's how he does it. That's what he's all about, and we're followers of him, right? So water is this life-saving thing you and I have to have. You cannot live without it. You can only go a couple days if you don't have it. And if the only water you have looks like this, that's a problem. Yet, millions and millions, hundreds of millions of people around the world, that's all they have. It's the river that's right next to them. I just came from Egypt not too long ago, and they drink right out of the Nile River. That's what they have. It's piped right into their house. I was in a village in Fiji a couple weeks ago, and they drink right out of the river, and they brought the water in, and I was like, hey, all right. We're not eating lunch on there. Did you use that water? You know, you're thinking all these thoughts, right? Because you know if you drink that water, you're going to get sick. But you have to have it. So you drink it because that's all you have. And then you get sick, and then your kids die, and that's the 3.4 million people, right? The latest figures around the world, 3.4 million people die of waterborne sickness. Nearly a million of those are children. Every 20 seconds, a child dies of waterborne sickness around the world. Think about that. That's crazy, right? I want to tell you about an opportunity that you guys are going to have. And this is going to happen in a couple of months. I just got back from a trip to Fiji, and we finished an entire province of Fiji. It's right next to the... Near the capital, there's another province, and it's really rural and super hard to get to, and we gave clean drinking water to the entire province and finished that up. And so now we've started in the next province next to that, and that is the province of Sarua. This is a picture up here you guys are going to see where we actually had to take a riverboat up about an hour and a half up this river, and there was white water and all kinds of stuff. It was actually kind of frightening a little bit. This is the calm part, but when we were going through the rapids and everything, and we're dodging big boulders that are sticking out and all this going up river, it was kind of crazy. But in this province, 25% of the people that live in there right now are suffering from frequent diarrhea rates with their children. They're drinking out of that river right there. And it's a problem. And the next few months, we're going to give clean drinking water to six of those villages. And that's what we're here this weekend to kind of talk about. The opportunity for you guys to give one of these bucket filtration systems to every single person in these six different villages. There's one down by the coast. And then we'll take the riverboat up. I'm going to be on the trip, actually. And I'll take pictures and send them back to you guys that will show you where we're going and what we're going to do, but it's going to be awesome. But one of the cool things about this project is that we're able to do it in partnership with the local church, the Give Clean Water team that's there. They're all part of a sister church over there. Pastor Steve, Karen's been over there. Maybe some of you guys have been over there as well with us. But those guys at Anon Church are going to be with us on the trip. And what happens? It's like going to Starbucks or something. Really, it's like our local watering hole. In the same way that Jesus would sit down at a well and have a conversation with someone, that's going to happen over clean water. That's going to come into these people's lives. And we'll sit down. And the process really is one where we'll go in and install filters. And then 2 weeks later, that team will go back and they'll follow up with every single home in there. And then 8 weeks later, they'll go back and follow up again. But in the midst of that, they're developing and building relationships with these families. And they're going to be able to share God's love and the good news of Jesus in a really practical way. The reality is, this method is going on all over the world. You and I are all commissioned to proclaim, to say it out loud. Jesus in John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, he says this: anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty. If you drink this water, you're going to be thirsty. Maybe really thirsty. Because if you drink this water, you're going to lose all your body fluids, mostly getting sick, and then you're going to need to drink more, and the cycle goes on, right? If you get cholera is one of the worst killers in the world. It's so violent and it's so quick. When you get cholera, you can like not have symptoms in the morning, and then you can totally violently excrete all your fluids out by the afternoon and die super quick. The solution to cholera is clean water. If you go to the hospital, that's what they're going to give you. They're going to pump you full of clean water. They're going to flush your system. And that's how you get rid of that bacteria that's in your body. Jesus says, if you drink that water, though, you're going to be thirsty again. But the water that I give, you're never going to be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Jesus has this conversation with this woman over a glass of water. And it's just such an easy way to do it, right? Now, this woman thought that Jesus was talking about like some, like, I don't know, maybe smart water or something, or Fiji water, or some kind of thing that you'll get in some fancy bottle someday. The living water, what is that all about? But he was speaking of the eternal living water, eternal life, right? That's what he's doing. When people know that we care about them, we have a great opportunity to share Jesus. It's great. It's like nothing else. It's weird, kind of. Like you could go in with one of these water filters into a place in the world that you've never been, you don't know that much about it, but you're going to bring this really tangible solution. You're going to walk in, and they're going to welcome you with open arms, and you're going to change their life. In like 2 hours, everybody in the village is going to have a filter. You're going to change their life. When you go back and visit them, and they're going to tell you themselves, we used to be sick all the time. We're not sick anymore. Thank you so much. And then the conversation shifts, right? From clean water to living water. And it's so powerful. We're seeing a great move all around the world. We finished over... some of you guys might know this, but we actually finished border-to-border clean water in the country of Liberia. Basic clean water access. Nobody has to walk further than 15 minutes to a clean water source. We put water filters in 130,000 homes, and they're all, we know, we went to every single one of them. We interviewed every single family. We did all the follow-ups, all this kind of stuff. That's all there. We're on our way to finishing the entire Marshall Islands with clean water in the next probably 6 months to a year. Every single home is going to have one of these water filters inside of it. That'll be the second country with border-to-border clean water. And in the midst of all these things, we're going to Egypt right now, and we're going to bring clean water filters to 20,000 homes in Egypt. And that's just the beginning, but all of it is going to be a practical way to share God's love. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38 says, anyone who's thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. So with all that, what's our part? How do we do it? how do we actually do it? Well, I want to encourage us that we'll allow our compassion to lead us to action. We won't just go like, wow, these are cool stories. Oh, it's amazing. I think this is awesome. I'd love to do this. I mean, this sounds great. Countries and whole provinces and everything, getting clean drinking water and being able to share the living water. But that needs to be a call to lead us to action. You and I have to have some want to. We got to want to in order for this to change. And again, I just think back to how much want to we had dealing with COVID. How much want to we have. We want to get rid of that thing. I don't think we ever will. It's going to be like a cold, right? And it's going to be there, right? But how much we just wanted it to not be so devastating. And we had the want to get in behind it. And our whole world got in behind it. What if? What if we did the same thing with water? What if? Well, there's a bunch of people that are out there doing it. But we need lots of people. We need all of us to have the want to do it. We have the science, we have the technology, we have everything else. We have the good news that goes along with it. But we need this because it's really part of God's will. I want to show you. There's some pictures. Well, I guess you guys already saw them up there. The pictures of Serua and going up into the village and seeing what that looks like. I say all of this stuff, and I'm reminded of this one sobering thing. When you go to Burkina Faso, or you go to Egypt, or you go to Liberia, or you go to Ghana, or you go to South America, or you go to the jungle in the on the Amazon River, wherever you go, you get a picture when you come home and you land in the LA or the San Diego airport and you get in your car and you drive home and you go to your house and you've seen poverty like you've never seen before. And that, I realize, the fact that when you live here where we live, we are in the top 1% of the world financially. No matter where we are in the U.S., we're in the top 1%. And that's in the middle of, you know, our own financial pressures and our own struggles, and it costs a lot to live where we live and all those kind of things. I know all of that. I know what it feels like to go and pump your gas and go, what happened? What happened? Like, I, like, blink. Sometimes I've gone on some of these trips where I go home and I come back and it's like 50 cents more. And I just left. It's tough, right? But we live in a place of abundance, and we have so much, right? The writer of Proverbs in chapter 11, verse 25 says this, and this is how kind of we have the want to and the act to get us in, right? The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. The New International Version says it this way: a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And so we have Jesus, we have his example, we have the beauty of a conversation that happens over a cup of cold water, right? A glass of refreshing water that's not going to hurt you. And how that is just it's an easy conversation to go from clean water to living water. But it's going to take a will and a desire. And so your Pastor Steve, your missions team, everybody that's come together has come to put together a proposal for you guys to participate in, and that is to give clean drinking water to 6 villages that are in the Serua province of Fiji. $8,900 is what it will take to do that, to give that nearly 200 families clean drinking water for the next 10 plus years. Imagine that. It's really $10 a person. Imagine if I said, I could take $10 and I could give you a solution, or you a solution, or you a solution. For $10, I could give you a solution to give you all the water you need for 10 or more years. Seriously? $10 for a person? That's what it is. And so that's what I want to challenge you with. And that's, you know, just so you know how easy it is. These are the filters that we hook up to a bucket. And we put them in the villages. It's the same exact filters. Just they also hook to a bottle, which is super cool. All the hikers and backpackers use these on the trail. But you can just take water like this, and you can squeeze it right into a glass. You guys must have some air in the thing over here. Brand new filter. Look at that. Pretty amazing, right? Would be even more amazing if I drink it, right? And you know what? Guess what it tastes like? Water. Weird. But this little filter removes all the bacteria from any fresh water source, river, creek, lake, whatever. And that's what we're doing to change people's lives. And it's super cheap to do it, to really make a tangible difference. I want to leave you with this passage, because this is the really, why do we do it? Jesus calls us to compassion. Well, Jesus gives us a really clear picture of what it's going to look like when he returns. He's going to separate people. He says, when the Son of Man comes, he's going to separate people. You can read about this in Matthew 25, the whole passage, right? The sheep and the goats. Team sheep are team awesome. Team goat, you don't want to be on team goats. Now, if you have goats, you know, I'm going to, this is not about that. It's a metaphor, right? So, like, I felt bad last week because I was reading this passage and people had goats, and I was like, oh, this is so, they're your pets or something. But, so, like, it's not that, right? So, Jesus is going to separate, and what he's really getting at is what we did. He says, at one point, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty. Now, get this. In this passage where Jesus is talking about coming again and separating everybody, he directly addresses thirst and water. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Then the righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you? When? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. You want to know how you change the world? Well, you can change the world with something simple like this, in a simple way that is clean water, same way that Jesus did. He uses that as a bridge to talk about the living water. That whole village changes. You should read that passage and see what happened. It's dramatic what happens. And we've seen that. We saw 83 people come to Christ in a village that PB put filters in 200 homes in 2014. All Hindu population, 83 people gave their life to Jesus in that village. It's all your fault. So that's what we can do. And so that's what's up here, and that's what's out before you. And Pastor Steve can come up and kind of help you guys with that, what that looks like. But I want to thank you. I want to thank you for what you did, what you continue to do, what you did in that village in 2014, what you did in the village last year in Africa, what you're going to do in the villages in Fiji. I want to thank you guys, because I really believe you guys are the real deal. You're going to do it. You guys dig this stuff. And sometime, I want to take you with me. We're about due. Don't you think? How many of you guys are thinking we're due to go to Fiji? Okay, so let's make that happen too, but let's change some people's lives, and thank you guys for the blessing of being able to be here with you.
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. If you'd like prayer to connect with us, please go to our website at pacificlifechurch.org, and we would love to connect with you.